Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships. So we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
We're in a series entitled Act Like Men. If you have your Bibles, if you want to, you can head over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 there. It's at the top of the screen. This is where we get the entire sermon series idea from, is for 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And it's aimed mainly at men because that's what the text is. It's written in a masculine form. It's aimed at men. But I've also told you, ladies and young people in the room, don't miss all this stuff. Don't tune me out, because it benefits all of us. Because the main beneficiaries, I think, of what we're teaching over the next several weeks are the women and the kids and the grandkids and society in general, because everybody wins when men act like men, right on? And that's what we're talking about. And so the Apostle Paul wrote this, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, this is what he said. This is where we get our title from. It says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." And we've been diving into this, and the idea is act like men. And we said that's in the center there, and around that, there's two in front of it, two behind it, instructions or expectations that God has for all of us as men. And we've covered the first two, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Today, as you can guess, I want to talk to you about what it means to be strong. Be strong, men. And again, it's not going to surprise you, this is another military term as it's written in the text. It's a masculine command. But what's interesting is it's not talking about lifting weights, men, all right? It's not talking about hitting the gym and being regular. This be strong is actually, this word is passive in the Greek. And so it's not so much something that we do as something that happens to us as we do it. And I know that sounds really strange. It'll make more sense as we get into it. But the idea behind this, and I don't know, I was trying to figure out a better way to translate this. It doesn't play well in the English, but I think if I was going to try to say it today, I would say it this way. Be being made strong. It's kind of the way, and again, I know it doesn't make sense in English, but it's this idea of just be strengthened as you strengthen. Be made strong as you are being strong. And so, again, this is going to make more sense as we get through it. My goal today is to show you where our strength comes from, but also what we're supposed to do with it. Because God is specific in how He's designed us, how He wants us to function, our roles and responsibilities as men and women. And this one is specifically for the men. What I would say right off the bat is God made men to be strong. It's why He calls you and says, be strong, because that's the way He's created you. He's designed you that way. This is what Jesus said about creation. He said, but God made them male and female from the beginning of creation. Two genders, two sexes, male and female. And this is what I get out of that. Men and women are different. Right on? I thought I was going to get a bigger, yeah, anyway. So, let me try it again. Men and women are different. There we go. All right. Good, good, good. No, and I say it, I'm joking when I say it, but here's the thing. We're losing that in our culture today. You realize that? Like it's amazing to me that we even have to say that. I think 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, they didn't have to say that. We have to say that today. And in those differences, there's so many different areas that you could look at, but I think the physical differences are irrefutable. And yet, today we're being told, oh no, there's no difference. There's no difference at all. And you go anywhere around the globe. You can go to any city. You can go to some backwoods town. You can go to some village in the middle of nowhere that hasn't been touched. And what you are going to find is, on average, the men will always be physically bigger and stronger than the women. Even in the United States, and it's amazing that we're having this argument, but in the United States, on average, men are 5 inches taller than women. On average. And I know what's going to happen. Somebody is going to come up to me after the service and go, well, I got this friend. She's a bodybuilder and she's married to this little weakling. Okay, I get that, all right? That's the exception. That's not the rule. On average, men are always bigger, faster, stronger than women. If you stacked all the women in the United States of America together and you put them on a workout bench and you had them do a bench press and you did all this, all the men, you would find out that on average, men would bench press 100 pounds more than women. And it goes on and on. I could throw all these examples out to you. It's just incredible. And yet we're having this argument. Here's one of my favorites. You ready? Do you know on average, men's thumbs can be up to 30 times stronger than women's? 30 times. That's crazy. So ladies, don't do this, okay? Don't go, you know, one, two, three, four, I declare a thumb war. Don't do that with your husband, okay? Because chances are, on average, you're going to lose every time, all right? But here's what's great about it. Women, if you learn these differences, you can actually use them to your advantage. Do you realize that their thumb can be up to 30 times stronger than your thumb? This is why, get this, you hand them the jar to open. Isn't that incredible? So use it to your advantage. But men are, on average, bigger, faster, stronger than women. And if you go down and you just look at all the record books, okay? Just go, oh, all the years that we've been competing in sports, and you look at every top score, top time, whether it's in track, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter distance. It could be a sprint. It could be a marathon. It doesn't matter. Every one of them are held by men. And ladies, please understand, this is not a slam, okay? I'm celebrating the fact that God has made us different. And you guys have differences that are just incredible that we can't do, that we need, we have to have. And God has designed it this way, but it's not a slam because this is not a contest. Okay, we're not pitting the sexes against each other. It's just facts. It's the way God has designed it. And what's interesting is 20 years ago, again, I wouldn't even have to say this. 20 years ago, we would say, well, it's science. And today we're like, I don't know. Nope, there's no difference. Everybody's the same. Today we're actually trying to erase all the genders. And we don't realize that what we're doing is we're hurting our women more than we're hurting our men. It's killing our women, guys. We need to understand that. And this is going to come into play here in a minute. But we need to understand this is not good for our ladies. You go and pick any male professional sport. I don't care what it is. You could pick the MLB. You could pick in an NBA, NFL. It doesn't matter to me. Pick them. If you go home today and you watch any sport, any professional male sport, I'll give you $100 for every woman that you see playing that sport. And you know what? I get to keep my $100 because you're not. Why? Because on average, men are going to be bigger, faster, and stronger. You're not going to see a woman step, you know, in as a right guard on the Denver Broncos today. It's not going to happen. It's just not. And thank goodness for that. See, 20 years ago, we would have said, this is just science. It's just the way it is. And because of that scientific fact, here's what happened. Years ago, they decided that they would have women's sports and men's sports. I think that's awesome. That's amazing. We're competing against each other in those sexes. And I think that makes it very, very competitive. But now what we're doing is we're seeing some men who couldn't even compete in men's sports actually invade women's sports. Biking, track, swimming, you name it. They're invading those areas and they're dominating in those areas at the detriment of our women. And I'm just going to say it. It's not right. It's not right. When it comes to women's sports, here's what I would say to the men. Stay in your lane, all right? Stay in your lane. God has made us different, and there's great reasons for it. Now, here's the reason God has made men, on average, bigger, faster, stronger. It's not so that we can dominate at sports. It's not so, listen to me, men, you need to hear this. I just feel like somebody needs to hear this today. It's not so that you can intimidate your wife at home. Hear me? You have a daughter of the king in your home, and you have to answer to Almighty God for the way that you treat her. Do not take that fact that you're stronger, bigger, and faster and make it into an advantage. Do not do that. God made men bigger and stronger and faster so that we can protect and we can provide. That's the reason. That's the reason. Now, I want to talk about this idea of protecting first because I think this is so critical. And men, we're getting pushed out. Our culture today is telling us, no, you know, if you say that you're designed by God to protect, somehow you're sexist. And that's not the case at all. That's exactly why God made you on average bigger, faster, and stronger. We're supposed to protect ourselves. We're supposed to protect our wives, our kids, and anyone else who can't protect themselves. That's the thing. Widows and orphans, man, it's in Scripture. We need to stand up and protect them. And we see it all through our society. We just celebrated an anniversary of 9/11, where a bunch of men and women, but a lot of men, ran into those buildings to rescue, to protect, to save, and they lost their lives doing it. There's a story, this is one of them I love, three soldiers that you know, there was a sniper just laying waste to civilians, and there's bodies laying everywhere, and these three soldiers are taking cover, and they see this little girl in the pile. She's among the bodies. And they risk their own lives. The two guys lay down fire, and the one, other one runs out there and grabs this little girl, and he drags her back to safety. This is what it means to be strong, is to protect anybody that needs protecting. And thank God that we have strong men. Thank God for the strong men in our culture. But see, today in our society, they hate men like that. They hate them. And the problem is, if we don't have them, evil will reign. It's these men that stand between us and evil. And we need men to be strong. So we need to protect. We need to also provide. God put it in our hearts as men to get the job done, whatever it takes. It doesn't matter if the job's dirty, if it's dangerous, if it's physical, if it's difficult, it doesn't matter. God has placed it within the heart of man to get the job done. And the American federal government statistics actually show that men will work outside more than women. We work longer hours. We take jobs that will take us away from our home more often. We work more dangerous jobs. And here's the thing, men that do those types of jobs, we need them. We need them. God has placed that in your heart. You go do it. And you do it to get paid so that you can provide for your own family. Now, I know that this is true for many of the men in this room today. Many of you are here. You work demanding jobs. You're physical. You're mental. You work exhausting jobs. You come home wore out on a daily basis to provide for your families. And I just want to say, on behalf of our society, we appreciate you. We honor you in what you do. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Now, some of you, I know, you came directly to church from work. I mean, I remember when I was on the state patrol, I would come home, and I remember, I felt so bad about this, when I came home, and we would go to church right after I got off my DUI shift, and I would grab my wife and my kids, and we'd go to church, and I barely had time to change, and we'd go to church, and there was a Mother's Day where they were doing an early breakfast for moms, and we showed up, and I remember sitting there with my wife, and I, for the life of me, could not stay awake. Like, I was just falling asleep, and she kept going, come on, you know? Man, I just worked a long shift, and I'm falling asleep, but this is what we do as men. We've got a guy in this church that's a police officer, and he comes in every Sunday right off of his shift, and I love it because here's what he does. He actually serves, and this is the first service. He's back in the children's department serving, and he comes off of his shift after working all night long, hard, hard job, and he goes back there, and he sits on the floor, and the kids use him like a jungle gym, and it's amazing. It's incredible. Men, thank you. Thank you for putting in the hours and working hard to provide for your families. Now, ladies, please don't misunderstand me when I say this, okay? I just think it's interesting that we have all these men in our society that do this. They work their tails off to protect and to provide, and yet there's many ladies that will chase after the bad boy. You know what I'm talking about, right? There's that one guy that's always in trouble or whatever he's causing. He's bowing up, and the ladies are like, ooh, right? I love that guy, right? And the whole bit. And here's what's interesting. As I think through that and go, why do they do that? Especially our younger ladies, right? They're chasing after the bad guy. Here's what I think. I think God has instinctively put it within them when they're looking for a mate, a husband, a boyfriend, that they look at somebody like that, and secretly, here's what they think. They think, hey, this is somebody that can protect me. I think that's some of it. And I want to let you ladies know, be careful with that, okay? Because here's the deal. Be careful with those men, because masculinity pointed in the wrong direction, if it's not pointed in a God-honoring direction, can be very, very destructive. We just touched on that, okay? So be careful with that. I'll just say this. Just because a man is self-disciplined or a man is well-behaved doesn't mean that he can't bring it when he needs to bring it. All right? We got a lot of great bad boys that are actually good boys in this room. Strong guys can actually be good guys. And that's exactly what I think God wants. Not only does he want us to be strong, but number two, God wants men to be gentle. I said that and I got real quiet, right? The word that's used in Scripture a lot is meek or humble. We see that a lot in Scripture. God made men to be strong, but he also wants you in your strength to be gentle, to be humble, to be meek. And so often, you and I as men, when we hear the word meek, we think that that means weak, and it's not weak. Actually, when you go to Galatians chapter 5, you read through the fruits of the Spirit. When we receive Christ, we're filled with his Holy Spirit, and he begins to work in us to make us more and more like Christ every day as we pursue the things of God. And there are certain things, or certain what we call fruits, that are produced in our life. And men, this is for us. This isn't for just women. This is for us. This is what God wants to produce in our lives. And I want you to pay attention to this list, because as men, so often we push this aside, and I don't think we need to. I think we need to embrace this. So Galatians 5, it says this: but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love. How do you like that? Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. What's the next one? Gentleness. And self-control. And then it says this: there is no law against these things. Men, God wants you to be strong, but he also wants you to be gentle. You need to learn how to be gentle. We probably wouldn't take that as a compliment if somebody came up and said, I just love how gentle you are. You know, we'd probably be like, well, what are you talking about? Right? Puff up a little bit. No, we need to receive that as a compliment. If you can be strong and gentle, that's a reflection of Christ, because I think Jesus, we just went through a sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, all through the summer, if you remember. And early on, we read this passage, Matthew chapter 5:5. It's early on in the Sermon on the Mount, and this is what Jesus says. He said, God blesses those who are what? Humble, or meek is another translation of that, meek, for they will inherit the whole earth. And we look at that and we go, wait, meek or humble? I mean, how are those people going to inherit the earth? Can I tell you how? They're not weak. If they were weak, they weren't going to inherit the earth. No, this has got a whole different tone to it. If I was defining a strong man who is gentle, I would say this: it's a man whose strength is under God's control. That's, I think, men, this is our challenge this morning. You take your strength and you place it under God's control. And in that moment, you can love and you can be gentle and you can be self-disciplined. You can be patient. You can produce all of that fruit in your life, and you don't have to worry about it because your strength is under God's control, and God will tell you what he requires of you, what he expects of you. See, a strong man doesn't have to prove that he's strong. A strong man, I've heard, is a man who has a sword, but he doesn't have to unsheathe it. It's in its holster until he needs it. Jesus, I think, was the perfect example of this. Jesus came, and he had all the power. He could have done anything he wanted. He had legions of angels at his call. And at any time, he could have called them down. He could have said, you know what, you guys are sinful, I'm done with you. And he could have wiped us off the face of the earth. And he didn't. Jesus had all that power and all that strength, but he had it underneath the control of the Father. And he allowed God to dictate his steps, even to the point to where he surrendered his own will and he went to the cross. You want to talk about an example of strength. That's it. And I don't think it's by accident that men, when you get married in Scripture, you're told to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Be strong is what he's saying. Place your strength under God's authority, under God's control. Now, on this topic, I think it's important that we flip this too, because the opposite side of that coin is true as well. Not only does a man put his strength under God's control, but I think this one's key. I think a man whose weaknesses are under God's control is also a strong man. And maybe we need to learn this one more. Some of us, we're strong, we're pursuing Christ, but our weaknesses keep tripping us up because we haven't placed them under God's control. Paul, when he was writing, he talked about his own personal issue. He called it a thorn in the flesh in Scripture. And we don't know exactly what that is. Everyone speculates what it was. And I love the fact that it's left open because it can apply to all of us, whatever you're struggling with. And yet in this moment, it was a weakness in Paul's life. And he asked, it says three times, that God would take it from him. And I don't think that means that he prayed at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, God, would you please take this? I think that what that means is there were three seasons of his life where he poured himself out before God, crying out to God, God, would you please just take this weakness from my life? And God said no. Actually, God's reply is recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says this. Each time he, talking about God, he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in what? Weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong. Men, be strong. How are you strong? You place your strengths and your weaknesses under God's control. Now, we've all seen these guys. We've all seen them. Super talented, gifted by God. Seems like they got the tiger by the tail. They've got everything figured out, like they are the man, and yet they crash and burn. Why? Because usually their weaknesses were not under God's control. Satan was able to come in and take them out. And yet the opposite of that, you see men who seemingly had no talent whatsoever. Like they couldn't figure up if their life depended on it, and yet God used them to do amazing things, to change their family and their community and their company. And how in the world does that happen? Well, it's because those are men that place their strength and their weaknesses under God's control. Now the good news to that is this, and I hope you find this encouraging, men, because I did. What that means is that if you're feeling insignificant or if you're feeling weak or if you don't feel worthy, you're actually a candidate for what God wants to do. You're a candidate for God to use you in mighty ways. How does God use that person? How does he use us? He gives us his strength. How do we get his strength? Well, I think we place our strength and our weaknesses under his control. And then this is the last step that I think he requires of us, is that God needs men to be humble. We've got to be humble. Here's what I love about God. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to force you to do anything. It comes from us coming to the King and offering him what we have. That's how we get God's strength. He made men to be strong, but he wants them to be gentle, and he needs us to humble ourselves before him, to declare him as king. Because here's what happens in life, men, if we're honest. I'm the king. I'm the man. I've got this. I'm a self-made man. Nobody can tell me what to do. I've got this. And in that moment, you're taking the first step into destruction. See, I think pride is one of the things that men struggle with the most. And men, we struggle with it our whole lives, and we get to a place where we're finally kind of trying to make some headway, and what happens? We get proud of how well that we're doing at overcoming our pride, right? I mean, it's this cycle that we're in. Pride strikes us down. I've got a really, really good friend in Phoenix, Arizona. He wrote a book called The Deadliest Sin, and it's all about men and their pride, because it's what takes most of us out. But James 4:6 says this, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Which side of that do you want to be on? It's your choice. He's not going to force you. We have to be humble if we want God's strength. When we humble ourselves before God, he gives us his grace. He gives us everything that we need for this life and for eternity. But here's what's interesting about this scripture. It actually says that God will actually work against you if you're prideful. And men, we need to hear that today, because this is our struggle. God's not going to wrestle with us. We've got to humble ourselves. There's this amazing thing in scripture. It never says, you're humble. It says, be humble. It's this action. We have to constantly push ourselves to be humble, to overcome our pride. Now, how do we get rid of pride? We humble ourselves before God. We submit ourselves, or we bow low before our God. And it's counterintuitive, too. This idea that to stand strong, what you have to do is you have to get on your knees and you have to bow. But that's exactly the way that works. That's exactly the way that works. It can't happen any other way. If you try it any other way, you'll get struck down. But when you bow before God the King, that's when you become strong. When you place your strengths and your weaknesses under His control and you humble yourself, that's when you get strong. And let me just tell you this, guys. We need strong men now. We need them more than ever right now. We have enough weak men. Trust me, they're all around us. You see them every day. Weak men are dangerous. They're dangerous because they won't stand up for what's right, and evil can run rampant. They fear people more than they fear God. They won't stand up on their own. They won't stand up for what's right. They don't want to rock the boat. This is weak men, and this is what's led us to the place that we're at today. But strong men are those who are submitted to God. And those men, they'll stand on their own if they have to for what is right, because they know that their strength doesn't come from them. It comes from the Almighty God that they serve. It comes from their King. Now, most churches across the globe, this is just true for most churches. Walk into any average church and you will see most of the congregation will be made up of women and very few men. That's the way most churches are. And I have to tell you, I'm proud as I look across after I just talked about pride, right? But I'm proud as I look across the faces at Mountain View Fellowship. Because what I've seen, especially over the last several years, is I've seen men rising up and accepting the call. I see men who I'm proud to call my brothers in arms, men who are locking shields together to protect themselves and protect their families, to point their way to Jesus Christ and lead their family in that direction. It's incredible to see what God is doing in the hearts of men here at Mountain View Fellowship. And every time a man leads his family to church, every time a man leads his family to Christ, he wins not just his family, but he wins a kingdom. He wins for the community. He wins for the next generation. We are changing things, men, because of the decisions that you are making. You are having a profound impact, whether you know it or not, because you are deciding to put your strengths and your weaknesses under God, to be gentle, to be humble, and to pursue God on your knees. That's when you're strongest. I said at the very beginning of this message that this word "be strong" in the original Greek actually means it's a passive. Being made strong, right? It's this idea of just being passive. There's something that you do, but there's also something that's happening to you as you do it. And it's something that we allow God to do in us as we submit ourselves to the indwelling of God's Spirit in our lives. There's this amazing story in Scripture. It's King David, and he has gone to battle with his men. There's 600 men. And they've gone off to battle. They come back from the battle. And the problem is when they make it back to their camp, they realize that the enemy has come in behind them and has taken all of their families, taken all of their belongings, their possessions, and have burned their camp to the ground. And when they get back, you can imagine the devastation of these men who are exhausted from battle to get back home and find their families. Everything that they love is gone. And in this moment, we see this scene where all the men start to turn on David because they're so upset. They're broken over losing their families and all the possessions. And they're thinking about stoning David. Men, is that a bad day? That's a bad day, isn't it? Let me ask you, when you have a bad day, where do you find your strength? When you have a day where you can't figure out the answer, where do you find your strength? When you have a day when it feels like the whole world is falling apart, where do you find your strength in that moment? Where do you get it? Here's what happened to King David. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says, David was now in great danger because all of his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning David. But look at this. But David found strength in the Lord his God. And we're not told exactly how that happens. I imagine that maybe David went down to the river and he just got on his knees and he began to cry out to God, God, I'm following you with everything that I have. And yet our families are gone. My whole family is taken. I don't even know if they're alive right now. All my stuff is gone. We've lost everything. And now my men are talking about stoning me. God, what do you want from me? And in that moment, God gives him the answer. You can read it for yourself, but it's an amazing series of events. And he figures out, yes, God wants us to go after these men. And so he loads up his men and they go. And it must have been a tough journey because by the time they get close to this encampment, 200 of his men are so exhausted they can't even fight. So he takes only 400 with him. And they go in and they wipe out the enemy. They slaughter them. And there's this amazing phrase in scripture. It says that they got back every single person that was taken. They didn't lose a single one. All their wives, their kids, everybody was rescued. And they bring them on home, all home. And not only that, but they took all the valuables that they had. Plus, this army had taken tons of stuff from other people. So there were tons of plunder. They took it all back and they divided among all the men, all the tribes. And they had a massive party. Now, my question is this. What happened from that moment where they're thinking about stoning David to the time where they saw victory? What happened in that moment? I think what happened, where the whole situation turned, is that a man humbled himself before God and he found strength in the Lord. That's a strong man. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're going to sing a song. It's just called I Speak Jesus. And we're going to do something different today. You might think this is a little awkward, but I think it's necessary for us as men. I think there's moments in our lives when we make decisions, and it's important. And this one's important. And so, men, I'm just going to challenge you. As we talk through this, I'm going to ask you, as we're singing this song, they're singing, you know, I speak Jesus over anxiety. I speak Jesus over your families, whatever it is. If there's a moment in there where you're like, that's for me, and I want to commit myself to being a man who is strong, I just want you to come down to the front. And at the end of this, I'm hoping that we have our men down here at the front, and I just want to pray over us this morning. So as this song is going on, if you feel called, just come down to the front, and we'll worship together, and at the end, we'll say a prayer together. But here's the thing. It's up to you. God is not going to force anything on you. We have to humble ourselves before him. And so would you please stand with us as we worship tonight?